Welcome again to Happy and Whole in Him. I'm Joel of Heart City Church. In Mark 12, Jesus is asked a political question. Verse 13, they sent to him, Jesus, some of the Pharisees and some of the Herodians to trap him in his talk. And they came and said to him, Teacher, we know that you are true and do not care about anyone's opinion, for you're not swayed by appearances, but truly teach the way of God. Is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar or not? Should we pay them, or should we not? But knowing their hypocrisy, he said to them, Why put me to the test? Bring me a denarius, and let me look at it. And they brought one. And he said to them, Whose likeness and inscription is this? They said to him, Caesar's. Jesus said to them, Render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's. And they marveled at him. Now the Herodians and Pharisees are odd bedfellows, as surprising as Republicans and Democrats coming together, since these two groups have the opposite positions on more than just this tax. And they're essentially asking Jesus whose side he's on. It'd be like today, Jesus, are you with the Republicans or are you with the Democrats? Though this is as much a religious question as a political one. It is a political, in this particular tax, actually funded Rome's occupation. The Herodians approved it because they were Israel's pro-Rome party. The Pharisees were the people's party, pro-Israel, we might say. So they hated this tax because Rome had them in bondage, but more, because God's law forbid the making of images. For them, it was also a religious question. Caesar's image stared out from every coin that Rome demanded, one side saying Caesar was son of the divine, the other that he was high priest, which could hardly be more offensive to God-fearing Jews. In fact, when the tax was first imposed, a fellow named Judas started a revolt. Do you see the trap here? If Jesus says, don't pay the tax, he'll look like an insurrectionist, and the Herodians will report him to Rome as a threat. If Jesus says, pay the tax, he'll lose the people's support and the Pharisees can arrest him. So with the crowd looking on, Jesus puts them on the spot by saying, I don't have one on me. Any of you happen to be carrying graven images in the temple? And consider then that greater hypocrisy is Jesus, the son of the divine and high priest, stares at this image of another one claiming the same. And then Jesus says to them, Render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's. Jesus answers that there's no opposition between Caesar and God. You are obligated to both. And folks marvel because they thought paying the tax was giving allegiance to Caesar. But Jesus doesn't say pay Caesar. It is render or repay to Caesar what is his. In other words, the coin was not your money in the first place. Do you think this way about your money? Jesus says the things that bear America's handiwork, like cash money, or more, streets and sidewalks, safety measures, for better or for worse, they are all Caesar's, and Caesar should be repaid. This means we cannot be complacent in the land that God has placed us. We are to be invested by helping neighbors, obeying laws in the Lord, and paying our taxes. And we are to repay to God everything bearing His image, which is us. We're made in His image. So we're to repay God with our lives, recognizing our first allegiance is to Him, which also means Caesar owes his life to God too. Both political parties today must answer to God for their lives. So we can repay to whoever wins what is rightly theirs, even when we don't like it, confident that God is over every ruler, and He's actually the one who puts them over us. Let me ask, do you live with that bigger perspective? Or do we make the leaders of this age out to be really big and our eternal God out to be small? I'm not saying we should never get angry or take action over evils that rulers commit. And we may even face persecution when the left or the right has power. But Christians live anxiety-free because we hold our American citizenship very lightly, recognizing with Paul that our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like His glorious body by the power that enables Him even to subject all things to himself. Philippians 3. You see how Jesus' return and our resurrection life to come encourages us to live as those who are just passing through this age. So as those on our way to glory, we follow Jesus, who did not reach glory by grasping for power. But Christ spread his arms on the hard wood of the cross and opened to us the kingdom of God. The foolishness of the cross subverts all political machinations of this age. So pledge allegiance to a cross-bearing Messiah who says he's not a Republican or a Democrat. And don't put yourselves in the little box of this party or that. Don't put black hats on one and white hats on the other. Don't buy into a lesser of two evils argument. If you've been raised with Christ, you have a bigger perspective at the ballot box. Give glory to God if your candidate wins or loses, because you trust in the absolute monarchy of King Jesus, who for a little while calls us to honor and repay the rulers of this age. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we praise you that through your victory, you've restrained and conquered all of our enemies. Forgive us for failing to recognize your reign over all things. We pray for our leaders and for our future leaders that you will overrule the folly of their hearts and lead them to rule this people in the fear of you. Amen.